This morning we'd like to draw your attention to 2 Kings chapter 8, beginning with verse 11, 2 Kings 8, 11. Hazael has been sent on a mission from the king of Syria to find out concerning his death, whether or not he will recover from this illness or whether or not he will die. And as the prophet spoke to Hazael, verse 11, he settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed. And then the man of God began to weep. And Hazael said, "Why are you weeping, my Lord?" And he answered, "Because I know the evil that you will do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds will you set on fire. Their young men will you slay with a sword. And you will dash their children, and you will rip up their women who are pregnant." And Hazael said, "But what is thy servant, a dog, that he should do these horrible things?" And Elisha answered, "The Lord hath showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria." The knowledge of ourselves is perhaps the hardest knowledge in the world for us to come by. Socrates cried, "Man, know thyself," but how many really do? The knowledge of ourselves is not only the most difficult knowledge to come by, but should you come by it, you will find that it's the most painful knowledge you've ever had. To really know yourself is painful. The psalmist said, "Lord, you've known me. You know every time I'm up and every time I'm down. You know my thoughts before I do." Such knowledge, he said, is too great for me. I cannot attain it. What knowledge? The knowledge of himself. "God, you know me thoroughly. You've searched me. You know me thoroughly. I don't know myself thoroughly. You know all about me. I don't know all about me." For such knowledge, self-knowledge, is too great for me. I cannot attain unto it. The story that we have here before us is the story of the Syrian king, Ben-Hadad, who has been seriously ill. In fact, he is beginning to wonder if he is ever going to recover or if he's just going to die of this illness. Now, he knows all about this prophet of God, Elisha. When his captain, Naaman, was afflicted with leprosy, he had sent him down to the prophet Elisha, who cured him of his leprosy. This prophet Elisha is the one who had been revealing unto the king of Israel all of his secret plans, so that his every effort to invade Israel was thwarted. He became so upset, he sent his army to capture this prophet Elisha, and instead Elisha captured his army. He knew all about Elisha. He knew that he was a man of God and in touch with God and in tune with God. And so he sent his servant Hazael to find out from the prophet whether or not he was going to recover of his illness or if he would die from the illness. The prophet gave to Hazael sort of a confused message. He said, "He may surely recover of his illness, but he will die." And so he brought this ambiguous message back to the king. Now, of course, we know the story that Hazael brought the message back. The prophet said, "You may recover from your illness." He didn't tell him the rest of the message, but he went in and took a cloth and soaked it in water and suffocated the king to death. And so the king died, though he would have recovered from his illness. But as the prophet gave the message to Hazael, he began to stare at him intently. And he was staring at him so long that it became sort of an embarrassment. And as he was staring at Hazael, he began to weep. And Hazael said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "Because I can see the evil that is in your heart. I can see the evil things that you're going to do. You're going to set on fire the strongholds of Israel. You're going to slay their young men with a sword. You're going to take the little babies and dash them in the streets. And you're going to take the pregnant women and rip them up with your sword." And Hazael said, "Am I a dog that I should do such things?" When the prophet told him the things that he would be doing, he was so shocked he couldn't believe it. "You've got to be kidding. Me do those kind of things? Do you think I'm a dog or something that I would be guilty of those kind of heinous things?" But God allowed the prophet to see in his heart the treachery, the evil, the sin that was there, that would one day be manifested in the horrible deeds that he would be doing. How is it that man is so blind to the truth about himself, that we don't know the things that are in our own hearts? We do not know the evil that we are capable of doing. I think that perhaps it's because we spend so much of our time trying to make a good impression on other people. And as I seek to make a good impression on other people, I want them to think that I am better than I really am. I want them to think that I'm smarter than I really am. I want them to think that I pray more than I really do. I want them to think that I am really more spiritual than I am. I'm trying to make an impression on people. And in so doing, I like to leave them with the impression that I am a very brilliant spiritual man of God. That's the impression I want them to have. And so I do little things to sort of show off my intelligence, or I do little things to indicate how spiritual I really am. I may hold my hands in a very spiritual way, and a slight little tilt. It's a little more spiritual that way. And look, you know, with a bend of the head and you know, sort of rise a little on your toes and move slightly towards him, you know. And it gives that, oh, he cares, you know, he's spiritual. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, you know. And you're trying to impress people. In reality, you're trying to deceive people because you want them to think that you're better than you really are. The thing with this is that in my attempting to impress other people, I so often impress myself. and I deceive myself concerning the truth about me, so that I begin to live in a self-delusion. For I create a self-image of me, which the psychologists call my super-ego, my ideal self. This is the real me, I think. But in reality, it's the ideal me. But it's the me I'm trying to project to you, the ideal me. Mr. Cool. Nothing bothers me. I never get upset. Able to handle, you know, the most difficult thing is, you know, nothing to it, no problem. Mr. Cool. But something comes along that breaks the cool. I get so angry, I lose my temper, I do these stupid things. But I'm very quick to excuse myself. It's this horrendous pressure I've been living under lately. No one could live under the pressure that I've been experiencing in the last few weeks. It's just been so heavy and so hard that I finally cracked. But that's not the real me, you see. The real me is Mr. Cool out here. And so I'm real quick to justify what I've done, to rationalize my actions so that I can still maintain this ideal self-image of myself as, hey, I've got it made. I'm the rock. You know, I'm hard, man. I can handle anything. Let the storms come. I can stand in the face of the fiercest storm. You can depend on me, the rock, you know. And when I get fractured, it really wasn't me, you know. That's not the, you know, and I'm trying to rationalize quickly how it is that I could stumble, how it is that I could fall, how it is that I could fail in the hour like that. You remember Peter's self-image. When the Lord told Peter the truth about himself, he said, Peter, you're going to be offended tonight because of me. Peter said, Lord, all of these other guys may be offended. I would never be offended. Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. He said, Lord, I would never deny you. Even though they would slay me, I would not deny you. Don't you remember? You called me Rocky. They may fail, Lord, but I'm the rock. Don't you? You forgot, didn't you? I would never. His self-image. He didn't know the truth about himself. He couldn't believe the truth about himself when Jesus told him. He had to go through the experience of denying his Lord to discover the truth. And in his disappointment with himself, he went out and wept bitterly. I didn't know I could do such a thing. Have you ever said, I can't believe I did that? That's because you didn't know the truth about yourself. You thought you were above such a thing. I can't believe I ate the whole thing. I didn't believe I was a glutton. I thought I was a moderate. I thought I could handle it. But there is truth about us that we don't know. Our own hearts, the Bible said, are deceitful and desperately wicked. And God asked, who can know it? But it's very important that I do know myself. For unless I face the truth about myself, I will never change. People so often lie to themselves about the true condition of their lives. Take a person who is an alcoholic. In the beginning stages, they are constantly denying it. You can see it. You can watch them. You can be objective. You can see how that their work performance is being hampered by their drinking. You can see the damage it's doing to their family relationships. You can see them going down the hill. And so you come to them as a friend and you say, don't you think you're drinking a little bit too much? It's beginning to affect you. You're not the same person. And hey, I can quit anytime I want, man. It's just that I'm under so much pressure. I just like to get a little glass when I get home and drink a little bit to just sort of relieve the pressure. It's just sort of a pressure valve, and it helps me relieve the tensions and the pressure. So I just enjoy it when I get home to just sort of get away and escape the pressures of the day. It's awfully hard lately, the pressure I've been living on. But I can quit anytime I want. I can quit. But they're getting worse. They're drinking more. They're less communicative. And so you call AA and you say, hey, I have a friend who really needs help. Can send someone over to talk to him? He's just drinking too much and he's really in trouble. He's going to be fired, because his job performance is slipping. The first question the AA counselor will ask you is, does he know he has a drinking problem? And if you say, no, but they'll say, call us again when he knows that he has a problem, when he wants help. Because they know that they cannot help that person until the person, first of all, knows the truth about themselves. You've got to know you've got a problem. That's the first step of their whole program. The discovery and the acknowledgement, the admission to yourself, I've got a problem. But with our deceitful hearts, covering as we do, the failures of ourselves, the failures to even live up to our own ideals, we find it hard to admit that we've got a problem because we've been excusing ourselves the whole while. This business of the superego and the ego, the ideal self and the real self, it's a problem to man. And there are some people who have an extremely wide disparity between the ideal self and the real self. Their picture of themselves and what they really are. There's that wide gap. And the wider the gap between the true self and the ideal self, the more mental problems you have. I mean, a person can actually have such a wide divergence between the real self and the ideal self that he begins to have serious mental problems. Mental disorders. So serious that a person will often go to a psychologist. And the psychologist will generally say, you have set too high a standards for yourself. You're not being realistic about life. No one is that pure. No one is that good. You've got to face the fact that you're a human being and that everybody makes mistakes and everybody is doing it. And they try to bring you down so that the ideal self isn't so high. It becomes closer. They try to narrow the gap between the ideal self and the real self by bringing the ideals down. you come to Jesus Christ with this problem, and he'll seek to bring the real self up. He'll say, you can't do it without my help, without my strength, but if you'll give me the permission, I'll come into your life and I will change you. And I will give you strength where you are weak. And I will be with you in the storm. And I will see you through. If you'll trust in me, I'll lift you. And he lifts us towards the ideal self. Again, closing the gap between. But what a difference. The one will bring you down while the other will lift you up. I must know the truth about myself if I'm ever going to change. Because there is not going to be any changes taking place until I can see and know the truth about me. If in my youth some prophet would have looked into my eyes and began to tell me that I would do some of the things that I have done, I would have said to him, am I a dog that I should do such things? For I have been guilty of doing things that I have said I would never do that. I would not have believed the truth about me. But God has in his graciousness and in his love revealed to me in many areas the truth of my own heart. And in so doing has caused me to recognize that I need his help. I cannot make the changes myself. I need his grace, I need his mercy, I need his forgiveness, because I am a sinner. My heart is deceitful, desperately wicked, and prone to sin. I need the strength and the grace of God to keep me, to make me what God would have me to be. God said to the children of Israel, for 40 years I took you through the wilderness that I may prove thee, to see what was in your heart, whether you would serve me or not. Now, when God said, I took you through the trials of the wilderness to prove you, to see, it wasn't that God might see. He knew the whole time what was in their heart. But they didn't know it. You see, they had confidence in their flesh. They had confidence in themselves. When God first brought them into the wilderness, they made a pact with God. They said, God, anything you say, we will do, we will do. They didn't know their hearts and the idolatry that was there. And so God had to bring them to experiences where it could reveal to them the idolatry of their heart, where they could see their hearts. And then would they say, oh God, we've failed. We have not served you. Forgive us, oh God. And it brings me to the place of help and to the place of change. But you've got to know yourself before there can be any changes. And as the prophet Haziel looked steadfastly, or as the prophet Elisha looked steadfastly at Haziel until it became an embarrassment. And he began to weep, and Haziel said, why are you crying? I can see the evil that you're going to do. And he was shocked. He could, me, you kidding? Am I a dog that I would do such things? You know, some of you today are doing things that Had someone told you a while back that you would be doing these things, you would have been totally shocked and you would have been insulted. You would have said, I'm a dog that I would do these things? Are you kidding? I've seen people get involved in drugs. People who said, hey, I would never use drugs, man. That's a no way way to go. I've seen what it's done to some of my friends. Man, they're basket case. Not me. I would never do drugs. I saw them doing drugs. But they said, oh, well, you know, just for my own kicks, man. I'm not hurting anybody. You know, it's just for myself. I would never deal drugs, man. I'd never get into that thing. That's, you know, just enough for myself. Next thing you know, they're dealing drugs. They say, well, man, I would never rip anybody off. You know, there's a lot of rip-offs in this thing, but, man, you know, I'm a straight dealer, and I would never rip it. Next thing you know, they're out ripping people off. Yeah, but man, I'd never get involved, you know, with you know, a lot of these guys carry guns and so forth, and they, you know, there's murders over these ripoffs. I would never do that. And the next thing you know, they're charged with murder. Who, me? Are you kidding, man? Do you think I'm a dog that I would do these things? No. But God knows what's in your heart. God knows what you're capable of doing unless you surrender your heart to the control of Jesus Christ. Don't kid yourself. Don't be deceived. The capacity for the worst, most horrible, evil things is there within your heart unless your heart is sanctified by the Spirit of God. Unless your heart is surrendered to Jesus Christ, you're on the path down. And only time will tell the horrible things that you're capable of doing. It was repulsive to Haziel when the prophet told him the things that he would do. Me, take a little child and dash its brains out? Are you kidding? Am I a dog? That I'd take my sword and rip up a pregnant woman? Am I a dog? And yet he did it. Yet he did it. How important that we realize our only hope is to surrender our hearts to be controlled by God and by the Spirit of God. We see in the world around us today people doing things that are shocking to us. We read about them in the paper or we hear about them on the nightly news. Some of the horrible things that people, and you think, can they be human and do such a horrible thing? Are they really a part of the Homo sapiens or do they belong to the animal kingdom? That's animalistic. How could they ever do that? And we're repulsed by what people are doing. But you have the capacity yourself, unless your heart is surrendered and under the control of the Spirit of God. You don't know your own heart. It is deceitful and desperately wicked. And it is only as God in His grace reveals to us the truth about ourselves that we come and we surrender ourselves and say, oh God, take control of this life of mine, else I destroy myself and others. The psalmist who recognized that God knew him completely. Thou hast searched me, O God. Thou hast tried me, and thou hast known me. Ended that psalm with a prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there is wickedness in me, and lead me, Lord, in your path of righteousness. And that should be the prayer of every one of us this morning. Oh God, search me. Search my heart. Know my thoughts. See, Lord, if there's wickedness there, and oh God, take over, take control, lead me in your path, that I might become all that you want me to be, all that I desire in my heart to be, my ideal self. Shall we pray? Father, we stand here before you today naked because you see into our hearts and into the thought patterns, and you know us completely. You know us, Lord, better than we know ourselves. You know the dark shadows and those dark inner recesses of the heart to which even we are not privy. God, help us to know ourselves. But Lord, take it easy on us. Don't show everything at once, just a little at a time, God, that we might be able to bring it to the cross and place it before you and reckon that old part of our lives to be dead, crucified with Christ, that we might live, Lord, unto thee, the kind of person you want us to be. Lift us, Lord, to your level by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. It's quite possible that today you are doing things that would have shocked you a few years ago. If someone had told you you would be doing these things, you wouldn't have believed it, but here you are. You're involved. It could be that you're beginning to recognize the fact that you need help, that you can't stop because you've tried and you haven't been able, and in your heart you really know that you can't, though you haven't admitted it to anybody else yet. You realize that you've got a problem. Let me say you're in good shape if you realize that you have a problem today, because now you're ready for help. Now you're open. Now God can help you. If you still think, hey, I can stop anytime, I've got it made, I'm all right, I'm cool, I'm a rock, then you're in trouble, and wait a while, come back. We'll deal with you later. But if you really begin to realize, hey, I can't handle these issues, sort of out of control, God, I need help. Oh, he's waiting there. That's what the gospel is all about. That's why we're here, because God has provided help for you. And he'll set you free. He'll change your heart. He'll change your life. He'll wash you, he'll cleanse you, he'll forgive you, and he'll make you a new person in Christ Jesus. For if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature, and the old things pass away. Everything becomes new. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. The pastors will be back there to pray with you today, and you can find God's life-changing help as you surrender your heart to his control. God bless you. Be with you. Watch over you this week. Keep you in his love and help you as you walk in his path of righteousness for his name's sake.